Good morning, Monsignor. What's on your heart today?
This priest called me and he was talking to me about this family that was experiencing a disorder and a manifestation of spirits in the house. And he wanted to know if he wanted me to guide him, and I was telling him what to do. He lives in somewhat distant in our diocese, I've been guiding him with regard to spiritual manifestations, especially demonic manifestations. So he went to this house in which these disorders or demons were reported to be causing a great deal of unrest and confusion and difficulty with the people in it. We talked about holy water. We talked about blessed salt. We talked about a crucifix. And then he went to the house and he did observe some things that he thought were very real experiences of demonic influence. So he blessed the house. He blessed the rooms that these manifestations were taking place. And then he noticed that in encouraging the woman, there was a man living in the house who wasn't her husband. And I said, well, you know, is it an adulterous relationship? Is it fornication? Is there sin there? Have you encouraged them to go to confession? And then we talked about that somewhat. And then he said she had been a baptized Catholic. She was baptized as a Catholic, but had never made her confession. Yeah, I said, has she gone to confession? I said, because the entrance into a house, how does the devil get into your house? He gets into your house through your heart, through your invitation. First, he gets into your house through you. That's the most important entry that he makes, that he can get into a place. Where's the place? That's the manifestation. I said, well, what did you give her as an examination? Because she did then go to confession. And he said, I gave her the Ten Commandments. Well, that's what started my thinking today, my prayer about today's talk. Many, many Catholics and many, many Christians have a very shallow awareness of Christ within them. What is the revelation of the darkness that separates me from Jesus? Well, first, I think I should read, before I read the gospel, John's letter. It's his first letter. How do I know I'm living in Christ? She was baptized as a Christian. She had never gone to confession. Her baptism was a Catholic baptism. She had never followed through. She had never receive communion, so that the life of it was all there in seed form, but where were her thoughts? Here's an adult woman in her 30s. Now here's John's talking to the Christians in his first letter. The way we may be sure that we know him is that we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. This is the way we can be sure that we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to live just as he lived. There it is. My living in him will be a sign that he is in me. She had been baptized into Christ Jesus. Now, beloved, I am writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment. You see, the Ten Commandments, people say, well, they don't really reflect the love of God, but they do. The Ten Commandments, he says, I'm not giving you a new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. So the commandments, the old commandment, is the word that you have heard. And yet, I do write a new commandment to you, which holds true in him and among you. For the darkness is passed away, and the true light is already shining. Once you are baptized, you are in him. The light is in you. And so the new commandment and the old commandment, whoever says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause him to fall. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. What is the key to the commandments? It's love. The key to the Ten Commandments is love. How many people that I know, I don't have to go to confession, I don't kill anybody, I don't steal anything, and they are the most horrible people that you'd ever want to be around. They are just unable to explore what's in there. They live in such a way that the pus is so evident in their lives. In all around us, in our families and in our lives, the kinds of evidence we have. Where should I begin my exam if I want to truly let you reflect on the command? Where would I go? I would like to present something today to all of us, to me and to all of those who are listening. It's in St. Luke's Gospel. It's the second chapter, and I like to begin reading with the 22nd verse. When the days were completed for the purification according to the law of Moses, they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male child that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, according to what is dictated in the law of the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was a righteous and devout among the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. He came in spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the customary, the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him in his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples." Jesus is a light, of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. For every Jew who's listening to me, for every Gentile, which means for everyone, Jesus is the light who is going to reveal to us in our conscience how we are to walk in the light of God. When he is in me and I am in him, I walk in the light. I walk in the truth. I walk in love. Christ in me. He is the only light. There is no righteousness outside of him. He was the light who came into the world. He is the salvation of the whole world. What is the life that brings salvation? Christ. My life and his life are to be one life. The commandment, when I can't keep the commandments of the Father, only one has done that, Jesus. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel," and that he has been. Every single human being, that person who is being disturbed by demons, the opening that she has in her heart to let them in, there is only one light that's going to save her, Jesus. There is only one light that's going to save me, Jesus. Only one light that's going to save you. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many, and some of us will reject him, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and he has been. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary, in your immaculate heart, you have come so often to our society today. And the symptoms of such destruction in human hearts. You know, when I see families that are so disturbed, broken up. Yesterday, I was talking to this young man, and his wife just wouldn't. He had committed adultery, and he was so sorry. And year after year, although they had this child together and they were together, and finally he said to me, "The only thing that ever made any sense," he said, "I'll never forget that day. How did you explain that?" And I talked to her about resentment. She never forgave him. Anytime they had the least squabble, she brought up that back sin. And then I talked to that resentment is, you say you've forgiven, but resentment is something that continues. As soon as the memory comes back, you then lash back at the one who hurt you that first time. Re sentire, to feel again. And then I explained, she said, "How did you explain it to her that day?" And I said, "Well, I remember telling her that if I slap you in the face and you hurt, it's right for hurting. But if you hurt 10 years from now, I'm not doing that to you. You do that to yourself." How many couples, how many families are eaten by resentments, holding these memories of the time when you were a child and your father beat you, or your father ignored you, and you resent him? You re-feel the pain of an earlier wound. That child will never grow out of that. Your dad may have been alcoholic when you were a child. He now has come to sobriety, but you never have let go of the resentment. It's not that he's doing it to you. Resentments, you do it to yourself. When you examine your heart, in the heart of Mary, are you filled with resentments? is there's so many memories that you hold and cause you anger, cause you bitterness in your daily life. How many of us are driven by resentments, old wounds, which the memory comes back and we cause us to lash out at others? Unforgivenesses from the past, the memory keeps coming back and we keep responding and the hemorrhaging continues and continues. People who carry resentments destroy themselves. There's a tremendous disorder in the human heart, and many times they begin with the thoughts. Are you judgmental? Bring that into the heart and examine it in the light of Mary's heart. Many, many, many thoughts will be revealed. Do you have a judgmental mind? Is your mind so critical of this one and that one that all day long you go through limiting the divine life that's in you? You see, if you're living with the heart of her son, then what you see with your eyes are what he sees. He is in you. Do you see the beauty in your neighbor? Or are you constantly seeing what you see in them? The judgments that you make, and they're lies. They're not the truth. The only truth about your neighbor is what you see with his eyes, the beauty and the goodness all around you. What a tragic mind you have when you are so limited all day long, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you have judgments and judgments about your family, about your relatives, about those whom you work with. Your mind is full of judgments. And if you're a priest and you're constantly judging people, you have a capacity. That's what the epistle says. If you live in him, he in you, that's life. That's the love of Christ that's in you. To see the beauty in every single parishioner, to see the beauty in every single member of your diocese. Or do you have, if you're a bishop and you have a judgmental mind, what a disease and what corruption can happen to an entire diocese. Look at your mind in the heart of Mary. Let it be examined, that the thoughts of many hearts can be revealed in the purity of her heart. Do you have a lustful, adulterous mind? Are your thoughts? No, your actions aren't. But do you have adulterous thoughts? Thoughts of fornication? Or are you having hidden pornography and masturbation? These things aren't private. Bring them out in the examine, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. The purity, the beauty of the heart of Mary will reveal this to you. What is she going to do? She's going to reveal to you that your heart, your very heart, is his. He in you, you in him, in every single one of us, Mary will discover the heart of Jesus in my heart, in your heart, the purity of my heart and your heart. Hatreds especially, and unforgivenesses in the light of her heart will disappear for families, for divisions among religions, for the unity of all mankind. She has promised at Fatima, through my immaculate heart, Christ is going to reign throughout the world. How? Through her immaculate heart, Christ is going to reign in my heart. I want to give, in the light of Mary's heart, my heart. Let her be that reflection of purity, otherness, forgiveness, love, that she, as a light, can radiate into my darkness, my blindness, so that I may be able to see where I have closed off and limited the divine life that's in me, in every single human heart. Christ wants to reign. He has come into this world at the beginning of this new year, at the end of this old year. How important is it that we do an inventory of our thoughts? You know, when we go to Mass, we have a formula. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. In me, John says in his letter, in me he lives. And it's not an old commandment, and it's not something that hasn't always been taught. It's there in the Ten Commandments, and yet it's a new commandment, because the command is to love with the heart of Jesus. That's the new commandment. He alone who is in me and wants to love through me and radiate through me and you and the whole world. His kingdom will come into the entire world when this new morality, what is the new morality? It's the old morality. It is in the Ten Commandments, but the new commandment is him. He is the only one. He lives in me, and I live in him. He alone can honor, praise, and glorify his Father. He alone can love, serve, and give to every human being who is my neighbor. And he alone loves me. He alone is in me. I live, Paul says, no, not I. Christ lives in me. What do we have today at the end of this new year? We have what Galatians has talked about. And what happens when we live in the flesh? You know, that poor lady there in that parish where demonic influences come into her house, because they're in her heart. Once we go to confession, we slam the door on the darkness. We close our hearts to the evil that can come in. One confession is more important than 100 exorcisms. How important it is at the end of this year that we begin to see what Paul talks about. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalries, jealousies, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In you, as we begin this new year, is Jesus. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such as these, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. This is a new year, and we can actually live in Him and He in us. That's what today holds out as we celebrate this Christmastide and this preparation for the end of the year and the beginning of a new year of grace.
Monsignor, what would you say to those who may be on the other end of the experience of that person who is still harboring resentments and then acting out in ways that, as you've described, and I'm thinking of the young man you spoke of who continually sought for forgiveness and the wife bore the resentment. How, or it might be others out there who are family, friends, who are on the, shall we say, the receiving end. How would you have them deal, or where would you have them go?
Yesterday, this young man told me, this was years ago, that he talked to me about, he said it was something like 10 years ago. Well, he just left her. He wasn't able to bear. She just wouldn't change. She stayed with the resentments. She stayed with the bitterness. And so he just didn't stay with her. What would I say? You know, would I encourage someone? Well, sometimes if people just won't change, then maybe that's what you have to do, is let them alone in their misery. The disorders that come. You know, when you have a disorder like that, you know, if you're suffering from obesity, you know, you're a 400-pound woman, you're sitting on the couch, and you're still eating potato chips and watching television all day long. Well, you've just decided that's what you're going to do. Now, what are you going to do? You're maybe now in your 40s, and you're going to die. You've chosen this, or you're anorexic, and this is what you're going to do. And you've stayed there. You're not going to move. Now, I have seen both decide to change. And when they do, this new life comes into them. The experience of, there it is. It's right in there. You can choose this. That's what Paul is talking about. You want to live according to the flesh? You want to live according to your alcoholism? You want to live according to your hatreds? You can do that. The choice is always, but you notice what it says about Mary. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Not every, but many. And even when you consecrate that precious blood, this is shed for many. Not for all. It is shed for all. The invitation is to all, each and every one who hears me. This end of the year and this beginning of a new year, you can live an entirely new life with confession and with a change of life. You absolutely can live in Christ, through Christ, and with Christ. You really can, to your joy and the peace and the happiness and the love. You want to choose the other, there it is. And I unfortunately, when you meet somebody who's just decided to stay there, supposing your son has decided this is what he's going to continue to do, should that destroy my life? Because my son has decided that he's just going to kill himself with alcohol or with drugs. It's a tremendous pain for a mother to see her son choose that path. And there's always hope. What would I say? Well, I would always say, pray with hope. Pray with hope. And with expectant hope. That there's a woman came to confession to St. John Vianney, and her husband had continued on that path. And he actually then leapt to his death in a suicide. And John Vianney, in a kind of a vision, I guess, whatever he had experienced, he said, between the bridge and the water, there was enough time for an act of contrition. Your husband is not in hell. God had mercy on him and heard his mercy. See, God's infinite mercy can kick in, and it may be at the last moment. So keep praying and hoping. Actually, in this world, you know, I'm 86 years old now, but 10,000 years from now, we're going to see there's going to be a mansion there for those people, if you're living with such a person, who has decided to take the path of destruction. And we'll be up there. Now, that mansion that was made for your husband or your father, it's going to have his name on it. Jesus died. And will he be there? That would be the tragedy. 100,000 years from now, if he wouldn't be enjoying eternal life, everyone who is hearing me today, you were made for eternal life. And that life you can begin to live now, today. Don't postpone it.
I'm reminded of the great advice you gave me long ago, Monsignor, the airplane rule. You know, don't forget to put the mask on yourself first.
Yes.
Because you can't help someone. You can't even be present unless you, at the very, very least, are receiving what you need to receive.
Yes. Yes. Put your own mask on first. Get the air into you. And then you'll be able to share it all the time with others. Yes. Yes.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I really live. I think what may sum up what I'm trying to say is, in John's words, they hit me today from his epistle. Live in him and he in you. And this is the way we know that we're living in him and he in us, that we love one another as he has loved us. As he has loved us, so we can love one another. God bless.